to episode 40. Yeah, really 40. the podcast for all things cosplay, which is us. We are CosPod. I'm Amber, if this is your first time, and I'm sorry about the wacky intro. This is probably not the best episode to jump into CosPod on.
I'm Valerie, before she ignores me.
I was going to segue into you and say it's been one of those kind of days, right, Val?
Oh!
I was getting there!
I wasn't catching on to that. It's been a long
Cheers.
Week.
Cheers!
Is it over yet?
It has been a long week. It's been a long 2 weeks since we actually last recorded our last episode. And so, speaking of, we've actually been to a convention since then. We went to DFWCG, which is short for DFW Costumers Guild, last weekend, which is kind of a little mini-con, you might say, that is held at the Crown Plaza in Addison, Texas, and it's kind of more of a technical con, as opposed to the more philosophical kind of social aspects of cosplay.
Oh, social aspects of cosplay. So to say philosophical. What the crap is philosophical about
philosophical
cosplay?
As in, why do you cosplay? Why cosplay? That's sort of a philosophical thing.
I'm social.
Yes. I'm trying to find the right word, and it's just not coming.
It's not
to
happening.
Me.
It's
no.
Okay. You're forgiven.
No, my brain has already gone to bed for the day, quite frankly. And given that I spent the last two nights dreaming of router and switch commands and have not slept well, yeah, I think I have an excuse for not having a brain right now. I'm thinking in code, not in English.
Yeah, I was telling her this the other day when I had to learn HTML in high school. There were nights where I was dreaming about coding, and it scared the crap out of me that was going to be what I was doing for the rest of my life. So I understand completely. It is not fun. It's scary.
It's always whenever I get stressed or anxious about something or particularly frustrated, like I was with my labs, which is why I was dreaming in code, apparently. But I dream about cosplay if I'm working really hard on one, or I dream about conventions like 2 weeks before the con, maybe 4 weeks before the con, even though they tend to be nightmares about, oh gosh, I got to the con and I forgot to pack X, or I'm about to wear this cosplay and I forgot this one part of this cosplay and I'm about to go on stage and I'm missing this one vital piece.
Those are scary ass dreams. I hate those dreams. I swear everybody gets them too.
Yes, viewers, if you can associate, feel free to, you know, give us a thumbs up here. But I'm pretty sure there are many, many people who have, you know, had the convention dream, the capital T, capital C, capital D, the convention dream. Or the cosplay dream. TM.
Yep. They're not fun. They're scary.
Yeah, so that's why I don't have a brain, aside from the fact that I was actually, for those who may have been following our Facebook, I ended up getting very sick. I ended up having a very severe vertigo attack, and it lasted about a week, and it was unpleasant, to say the least. I am better now. Thankfully, I am 100% healed from that, so hopefully it will not happen again.
That was... Man, you even freaked me out.
To say that I was pale as a sheet was being kind. Let's just say that.
You're paler than me, and I'm pretty white.
Yeah, I went to the con for DFWCG while sick.
Yeah, crazy.
Now, granted, it's not con crud sick. I can't, like, pass on vertigo to somebody else, which is the only reason I went, because if you're sick, don't go to a con. Do not be patient zero. You will be hated forever if you are the one who brings con cred to the con. So, no, I was not patient zero. This was not a communicable disease. But I was really sick. And for that reason, I've actually spent the last weekend catching up on homework because I was gone from school for a week. And I had to go out and do a symphony gig while sick so I could make enough money to pay for school. So, yeah, it's been a, like, mind-bogglingly busy week, but thankfully, now that I'm just about caught up on what I need to be caught up on, I have cosplay sitting on the floor awaiting my attention.
I got cosplay sitting on my dress form, sorta. Yeah, finally getting back to work.
You need to mount one of those little wall LEDs.
Yeah.
Right above your dress form, so that it illuminates down on it, so that you can have like perfectly backlit photos of it.
Dude, just
whenever
wait,
you want to show people what you're working on.
Wait until I start working on my Amidala dress. Oh my god, I might actually post this picture because I got my tracking information yesterday. It tells me the weight of the box. All the lace stuff that I have purchased to make my lace, the box is almost 20 pounds. I was like, holy crap, that is a lot of fabric shit. It is horrible. I might have to post the picture. I've never had a box so heavy before. Even my lightsabers were way lighter than that.
You will have fun, though, and I see that there are others in the chat room who have, in fact, had the con dream, the convention dream. So, yes. Yes, and like some of the chatters in our room, yes, I have also gone to a convention where I did, in fact, leave pieces at home. It wasn't a dream. In reality, I actually did leave them at home.
That happened to me at ACON. I totally forgot about my necklace. It was in my room, but because my room was across the street and out of the way and I was only wearing the costume for like maybe 4 hours tops, it seemed kind of pointless to walk back and get it. But I forgot my necklace and I felt so naked up here. Sucked. I spent so much time on that necklace. I felt so stupid afterward too. I think that's what's worse is when you start beating yourself up for it because of it.
Oh, I do that the moment I figure out I forgot it.
The entire weekend, I was so mad at myself that I forgot my stupid necklace. That was the only thing I could concentrate on.
See, the year that I ended up forgetting stuff, one of the biggest things I forgot was a wig cap. And let me tell you how hard it is to hide your hair under a wig without something to hold your own hair back from the wig. Especially if said wig is a completely diametrically opposite color from your own hair, because this happened to be a blonde wig.
How long was your hair at the time?
It was probably down to my shoulder blades, a little bit longer than it is now.
Now, okay. So not like crazy ass long like you used to have it.
No, it wasn't down to my butt like it used to be. But at the same time, my hair has always been near black.
Right.
You know, my hair incidentally is not dyed this color. My hair is naturally like almost black, which makes it like frustratingly hard to hide my hair under any sort of wig, because I also have to worry about hiding sideburns and hiding my hairline, both of which are extremely dark. And I refuse to dye my hair, because with how dark my hair is, I would either have to get that Halloween spray and stuff, which I'm not a fan of.
Don't do it.
Or I would have to bleach my hair, which I doubly refuse to do. So needless to say, you know, I have very, very slim options when it comes to hiding, you know, my hair under a wig. And that one year, I don't even remember what I did. I think I basically just blew it off and said, okay, if my sideburns show in pictures, that's my own fault for not having a wig cap.
You know what? It's happened to every single one of us. Though I have to say, this is the one part of me that I'm very fortunate. I have a naturally receding hairline. It's just my Native American blood in me. And I'm lucky that I don't have to worry so much about my hairline showing. I can stick my cap right here and nobody's ever going to notice. It's fantastic. I got lucky.
That works. Yes. Yes, you did.
I don't get lucky on a lot of things. So, hey, let's keep the show rolling. How about that?
Yes, I was about to go there.
Yay! We're in sync.
So, it's been a week since we went to Costumers last weekend. Mm-hmm. And we filmed all but one of the panels. And we are working on processing them. It's taking us a little bit of doing, simply because we filmed using the Canon in HD. So each panel ended up being something absurd like 19 gigabytes.
I'm having her compress them before I look at them.
Yes, which is why it's taking some doing, is because I'm having to kind of fit video compression into my schedule as I am doing other things on my computer, like backing it up and doing my homework and such. So we will be uploading those as quickly as we can. In fact, more vids are going to go up tonight. As soon as we're done recording this, I'm going right back into video compression while I'm reading my homework.
Yay!
So we will be getting them up, starting with corset making.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go up first, and then we're going to put them up in chronological order that we filmed them. So it was a two-day con. It was Saturday and Sunday. So we'll put them up, you know, Saturday, Sunday. And if we can get permission from the coordinator, we will also post the handouts that went with the panels. They gave us little informative handouts as well at the panels. So we will be doing that. So that I'm not constantly talking, why don't you give your review of the con first? Ladies first.
I have to say, it's hard to call it a convention, because I don't even think of it as a convention with the way it's held. It's more like a workshop. So you go in, you learn new things. One day is mostly about talking and trying to, you know, show you a couple of things, and the next day is more of you sitting down and actually doing the new techniques that you've learned. Like, the first day was corset making, which I was all for, because I might actually be making a corset next year. So it's like, great, all this new stuff I've got on my hands. Cool, fantastic. And they went through some dyeing techniques, things of that. So, I mean, it wasn't really a convention. It's more workshop time, learning how to do new things. And it'd be nice to have more of those in a convention setting. I know it's a little tricky sometimes, especially when it comes to, like, the dyeing panels, and I'm a dork, and, of course, I want to dye at a convention while I'm wearing a costume. Probably not. But it'd be nice to see them in more of a convention setting. But, I mean, I enjoyed the stuff that they had. I had fun with it. I know I couldn't go the second day. Wonderful, wonderful dog issues. I love my dogs. I really do. But they're such buttheads. So, yeah. There you go. I think this year, in comparison to last year, I didn't attend last year, but it seemed like this year that there was more content. Or maybe that was just me.
It was not just you, and for those who don't know a lot about Costumers Lost Weekend, it's actually put on by the guild members of DFWCG. So they're actually, like, members of the guild are the ones who actually teach the panels. Although this year they actually brought in somebody from out of town, which was different. Last year they did not do workshops at all. This was the first year they've done workshops.
That's why it seemed a little different.
Last year, it was a one-day con. They expanded it to 2 days this year, which may not seem like much, but basically it was panel, 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 back-to-back, almost all day with the exception of a lunch break. So it was a lot of content. And the content was very solid, to be fair. When I said that it was a more technical con, it's technical in the sense that they do a lot of technique teaching.
Right.
It's not a lot of general, over-the-top, surface kind of fluff, which is not necessarily a bad thing. That fluff is needed as an introduction. But this convention is geared more towards people who have already been costuming for a little bit.
I was about to say, it's for the people who already have some of the basic skills already under their belt. Like, they know Sewing 101 and Sewing 102. Here's, okay, now this is about constructing a corset. This is about constructing a pattern. This is about, you know, styling your hats and stuff. So, I mean, there's a lot more to it.
Right. And you actually may not get as much out of the panels if you don't have a background, at the very least, in some of these techniques. So if you've never dyed fabric before, you probably wouldn't get as much out of the shibori panel as somebody who does have experience in dyeing fabric. But I would say, at least from my perspective, that while the content was very good, it kind of takes... Okay, this is not going to sound very politically correct, and I know this.
Diplomat.
But I'm giving my disclaimer now, man. But this is honestly how I feel about it. And this is because I have a background in teaching.
Mm-hmm.
I actually went through certification training to be a teacher. It takes a certain kind of training to be able to teach well to a room with multiple learning styles.
Mm-hmm.
And this is to say that not everybody learns the same way. Some people are visual learners. Some people are auditory learners. You know, they learn best by listening. Some people are kinesthetic. They learn best by doing. Some people learn best with music. I mean, there's supposed to be 9 different styles of learning. And quite frankly, most of these panels were auditory, right, meaning the lecturer just lectured, which is fine. You still get the information that way. But for me, as a visual and kinesthetic learner, auditory really doesn't do that much for me. It's great content, but I would rather actually be doing what they are saying or looking at examples of what they are saying. Mm-hmm. And some panelists were actually really good about bringing examples with them of their work, or, you know, pictures or demos, and some people actually did the things they were talking about. That was a lot more helpful to me, at least in my style of learning. And I don't blame the panelists for any of this. They just may not know better. But, you know, you only know that sort of thing after experience. Or somebody saying something to you, of course. Exactly. So kind of my only quibble with it would have been more variety in doing and seeing. So other than that, I had a fantastic time at the con, despite being sick. And I definitely learned a lot.
Yeah, I think that was the big thing for me, was just being able to learn so much, and there's so many things that I want to try now. I mean, granted, there were a couple of things that were repeats for me, like I already knew everything about Shibori, so for me I was like, okay, been there, done that, I do more weird stuff with my fabric anyway, so I don't need to worry about this. But just the new stuff that was going on there, and like I said, the corset making for me was like the it thing.
Oh yeah, actually my it thing was the panel that unfortunately we could not get video footage of.
Of course.
And that was cloning a historical garment. I honestly have no interest in historical garments, but that wasn't the thing that I wanted to see, is because when you go to these sorts of panels and workshops, the techniques transfer over to other genres of cosplay.
Exactly.
So I wanted other techniques on how to clone garments in general so that I can clone fantasy and movie costumes.
Dang.
Or at least, you know,
that's
learn
why I
of
that one. I was like, okay, we can't take video, but you know what? This is going to be useful.
Yeah. And I really enjoy learning other methods of doing something that I already know how to do, because someone may know how to do it more easily than I do, which is fantastic, or they may know how to do it more quickly, which would save me time, or maybe with different materials, which might save me money, or they may just have a different way of doing something, like say finishing seams, that's cleaner. Like for the that she had several different ways of putting in boning. I thought that was fantastic.
I thought it was brilliant. I didn't even think about any of that stuff.
It's like, okay, great. Now I have different techniques that I can experiment with myself so that I can figure out what way works best for me, as opposed to being told the way of doing something.
You know, what's interesting,
that's what
I've already started using some of those techniques for the costume, and I'm going to talk about this in our project update. I'm using one of her techniques in my new costume. Perfect.
Yeah, I totally appreciated that, and I think all in all, they've got a really good thing going. I sincerely hope they do it again next year. Rumor has it that there may be a fabric depot carpool run. They may run around the fabric district the weekend of the convention. They'll do it like the Friday night before, and they'll do a fabric district run, and then do the workshops and the panels on Saturday and Sunday. I really hope that pans out. If you guys are interested in their work or even becoming a guild member, which I heartily support, you can go to their website, which is dfwcg.org. It's short for DFW Costumers Guild. Membership is only $15 a year. That is totally affordable. That's less than a convention membership to any con that's not free. So I totally say go for it. Become a member. Support them. Support this kind of programming. I feel like I'm doing National Public Radio pledge drive.
Oh, you totally are. NPR.
I am the Ira
PBS.
Glass of cosplay. But anyways, you can go to their website for more information and also to see their schedule of events, as they do other things throughout the year besides Lost Weekend. So I'm crossing my fingers. Yes, please do it next year. I hope they expand the programming. I hope that they bring back awesome panelists again next year. If you are in the DFW area and you want to run a panel for them, or you know somebody who should, send them a note, because they will seriously contact the person. DFWCG is really serious about, you know, being cosplay ambassadors, as it were. Well, costuming ambassadors, but it amounts to about the same thing. It amounts to about the same thing.
If a number of their members are mostly cosplayers too, so there you go.
Yeah. Speaking of cosplaying.
Yay, product time. Do you want me to start with mine?
Well, yes, because I haven't really been able to do much.
Oh yeah, you've been busy. You don't count. Aw.
Well, at this point, no, I probably can't count. Anyways.
Remember.
Forward.
Forward, onward, and upward. So I'm starting work on my next project, which is sitting back here. I'm trying to scale down. I only have 2 more costumes that I want to complete before the end of the year, so I've got plenty of time. I've got 6 months, no problem. This next one is Layla from Final Fantasy II, and she's basically a sky pirate who wears a bra top and like a very short mini skirt on the bottom. Yeah, hot. But I used the corset panels and some of her techniques because I had to break apart one of my old bras, and the wiring underneath it broke. So I used one of her techniques to help rewire it, and it's like worked like a charm. It is so ridiculous and awesome. So I can't wait till we post that. That's going to be great. And yeah, as I mentioned earlier, I bought all my lace stuff for Queen Amidala. Oh my god, it's going to be butt. But I'm going to have fun with it. So there you go. I spent a lot of money this weekend, and I worked on a bra. How about that for an update?
Well, I think the only thing that I ended up changing is that I've decided I want to do Titania from Fire Emblem.
Oh, okay.
At some point, it is going on my costume list. I just don't know when I'll be able to do it, simply because it is full body armor.
And I'm surprised by this.
I have a lot of armor already on me. No, if I can find a balance between homework and free time, then I should be able to get my cosplay done a lot faster. It's just finding that balance some weeks is really hard or impossible.
Yes, it is.
Depending on my homework. Especially since I'm now halfway through my class, which means I have less than a month until finals. Again. And then another certification test.
Mm-hmm.
2 certification tests this time, in fact. Not 1, but 2.
We should probably point out that Amber takes accelerated courses. She's not taking, like, the year-long or semester-long courses. No, these are, like, ridiculously fast.
No, what I am taking in school are technical networking classes offered by Cisco that are 8 weeks long.
Yeah.
That is 8 weeks from the day you walk into class until the day you take your final exams.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why I'm constantly, like, talking about homework or frustrated by homework or something, is because we're basically doing the same amount of work you would do in a semester in half the time. Same work, half the time, which means I have to go twice as fast. And it leaves me very little time for cosplay, and that makes me very sad. Because cosplay is relaxing, even though it is stressful at the same time. But I love doing it. I really seriously enjoy making costumes. And I don't have enough time to do it. Which just means that I'm going to probably have to just delay some of the ones that are on my list.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine. Well, it'll have to be fine whether I like it or not.
You'll make it fine.
Yes, the costume sitting on my floor is all the pieces for Erza. I'm going to finish redoing her robe of Yuin. And I'm going to put it all back together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one I hope to take to Barbican.
Oh, okay.
And if not, I'm going to take Deedlet, because it's already done.
I don't know if I'm wearing anything, man.
Well, both of these are basically sleeveless tunics. So they're
And we'll
nice and light.
and flowy, yeah. If I
Yeah.
can't get this sucker done, which I think because it's gonna be so sunny outside, I probably shouldn't. My skin is already very weak, and it's, I maybe I'll just bring Dahlia from Ace Attorney out. That's easy. That's mostly covered, and it's a nice simple dress. I don't have to think too much. Plus my stupid apron, if I get time to make it. I want to make a really geeky and dorky apron. What can I say?
Sorry, I had to respond in the chat room. There is a
There's a lot
comment
of
of,
chat going on, yeah.
yeah, there's a reason I stopped going the network path. Yes, but there's big money in networking,
I know, that's the downfall.
especially the route I'm going, which is kind of the trade-off is I have to give up time to make more
More
money, which will
money.
finance my cosplay hobby.
Cosplay. Yeah. It's a giant circle of
Yeah.
life. It'll come back.
Plus, at the same time, if I were to make enough money, I could rent a two-bedroom apartment and have a studio where I could work on cosplay, which would be like, oh, it would be awesome. That's my
Moving
ultimate
again,
goal.
please. Nice.
It really would. That is my ultimate goal, is I want a cosplay studio. I want a room that is dedicated to nothing but crafting. It's just going to take a lot more money. So yes, that is why I'm doing networking, is because I'm good at it and it will make money, which will finance my hobbies. My cosplay hobby and my crafting hobby and my videography hobby, which is cosplay.
Sucking up all of our money.
Well, I mean, do bear in mind that Cosmopod is not financially sponsored by anybody. We are not
Yeah.
beholden to anybody. We are completely self-financed, which means all of the money for all the equipment and the conventions we go to and the travel and everything comes out of our personal checkbooks and our personal time allotment. So it's going to stay that way, incidentally, for a while, just because
Yeah,
I have this thing about being beholden to particular businesses or ways of
right.
doing things, and this is why I really don't like taking money from them, as nice as that would be. But we're basically going to keep it this way as long as we can. So that's another reason for me to go and make big bucks, is because I can then, finance Cosmopod and do all sorts of awesome things with it.
And
So,
blow more stuff up.
well, that doesn't take money. That just takes fire. That takes a 50-cent lighter and then a $2 bottle of rubbing alcohol.
Yay! Oh, Amber's such a pyro.
So, speaking of fire and blowing things up, BarbieCon!
Yukon, yay! We tried to go there earlier and then we ended up
Where
this way.
we will not be, in fact, blowing things up.
Ah,
Although
boo!
we will be lighting things on fire in the form of meat. Or at least people can be lighting things on fire, because I cannot grill meat to save my life, to be quite honest.
That's why I'm here. I cook a lot, so that's fine.
Well,
Cooking's good enough.
I cook, I just don't, go out on the barbecue grill and cook my meat that way. I cook them on my stove in a pan.
We like
So,
fire.
yes. For those who don't know, BarbieCon is my pet child of a mini con that is BarbecueCon. And it will be held July 27th, which, when this releases, will be 2 weeks away.
Right.
Cosplay is encouraged, but definitely not required. We know it's going to be hot. We do not want you to kill yourself for the sake of cosplay or for the con. So if you do not want to cosplay, that is
That's
okay.
fine.
We're not going to hold it against
It
you. If you want to come in a swimsuit, that is fine, so long as the swimsuit is decent and, covers common sense bounds of propriety when it comes to skin showing. So,
That was
it's a
very
fa
wordy.
it's a family event. Dress nice.
If you can't wear it at a public pool, you probably should not be wearing it in
Well,
public.
there are people who wear things that they probably shouldn't wear at a public pool either.
Yeah, and they
But,
get their butts kicked out.
yeah.
There
So basically, use common sense, dress nicely, bring your friends, bring food, bring drink, Enjoy yourself. Have a great time. I'm going to teach people Kenzashi while there. Or at least I'm going to try really hard to, depending on how well my MacGyver hot glue fix works.
I love your MacGyver idea. It's so great. We got to test it first. Or have you tested it?
I'm going to test it, although given how the heat gun worked on the mod melts, I think we'll be fine.
Okay.
Be awesome. And if it doesn't work that way, I'll figure something else out.
We'll make it work. Worst comes to worst, we'll just stand over the grill with an open flame and be like, melt the glue.
Well, it may come to a double boiler, which is effectively what I was going to do anyway.
There we go. Done.
We're gonna double boiler hot glue, kiddies. Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
But anyway, if you want to actually teach a workshop at BarbaCon, that would be awesome. Contact us, and we would love to talk to you. Also, we're going to be having a swap meet, so if you have stuff you'd like to get rid of, or if you're looking for a particular thing, then you may be able to find it at BarbaCon.
Val will have spandex to give away, so please feel free to take it off my hands.
I will have spare fabric, a couple of books, and patterns, at least, to give away.
Yeah.
Or at least to, you know, swap if I can find something that I can use. But otherwise, you know, we can always take spare fabric and donate it to, you know, a local high school, a local theater group. They'll always use such things. Incidentally, if you have spare unused cotton fabric that is pre-washed and doesn't have markings all over it, in other words, it's clean, you can actually donate those to Quilts of Valor, which is a quilters group that has chapters in various cities and states, and they sew quilts for returning veterans from, you know, various conflicts. And it's a really noble cause. And I would definitely, you know, personally endorse such a thing. So if you wanted to donate to them, I say go for it if you've got spare cotton fabric lying around. It has to be 100% cotton. It has to be pre-washed.
Mm.
And it cannot have markings on it. So you can't have previously tried patterning on it. It has to be clean because they want to give these, you know, these veterans clean quilts.
Right.
They don't want your markings all over it. As nice as personalized as that might be. So.
But so, anyway.
You know, with that, we would highly encourage you to come and tell your friends and bring your friends to BarbaCon.
Yeah, bring your friends, bring your family. It's meant to be a fun, just relaxing hangout time, meet new people, and just relax before, you know, the August con season starts kicking everybody in the butt. Like, we know it's going to happen.
Indeed, and don't feel obligated to stay the whole time.
Oh, no. If you can only show up for like an hour or two, that's fine.
Yeah, we know it's going to be hot. We know that.
Fully aware of that.
It just came down to scheduling, and we can always change the date next year. But anyways, if you only want to come for a couple hours, that is perfectly fine. We're not going to hold that against you. You know, if you want to come for 30 minutes, that's perfectly fine, too. If you want to stay the whole time, that's great.
Amber and I will be there the whole time.
Yes, we will be there the whole time, simply because that's what's on with the special events permit. But we will be there, you know, holding down the fort, as it were. So if you want to show up at any time between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m., you are more than welcome.
I'll try to bring extra sunscreen. I'll try to get one of those giant gallon tubs.
Yes, bring sunscreen and bring bug spray, both of which are very important.
Lathering in it.
Almost bathing in it. Almost.
Yeah. We'll bring a kiddie pool, and we'll just fill it with sunscreen.
Yes. All right, so this past weekend, I had the pleasure or misfortune, I haven't decided yet.
Yeah, a little bit of both.
Of doing a double feature segment that we live streamed on Mod Melts, which, if you have not heard what those are a new product by Plaid, who is the maker of Mod Podge, cosplayer's best friend. And I went ahead and did a product review where I experimented the heck out of Mod Melts. And they are little glue stick looking things. Not little. They're about twice the length of glue sticks. They're about yay long. Little, you know, rubbery flexible sticks that you use just like hot glue. except that you cast with them, just like you might hot glue. And supposedly they dry rock hard, which I actually found out later watching their official video. It's 4 minutes hardening time, not three, which might have made a difference or not. I'm not exactly sure. But
probably would help if you had a different casting set and not used the plastic, yeah.
It would have definitely helped if I had not used the resin molds, but then again, that was also all I had at the time, and I didn't have it in the budget to purchase the silicone molds.
Right.
But I think in the future I am going to purchase silicone or urethane rubber and make my own molds. Just because the ones they have aren't terribly cosplay useful.
Yeah.
But I went ahead and I did the review, which we will play a short segment of here. And if you would like to see the whole thing, you can go to our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/user/cospodcast. And you can watch my whole experimentation with mod melts, which ended up with me getting resin dye all over my hands. And that was interesting, as I ended up looking like a Smurf for a little while. In fact, I still have like one or two spots underneath my nail bed where I still have a little bit of resin dye. Just a little bit of resin dye. But needless to say, they will probably have some interesting cosplay uses. Let's put it that way. There's an ant on my camera. Why is there an ant on my camera?
That's nice of him. Say hi, Mr. Ant.
Well, quite frankly, I wanted to smush Mr. Ant or blow him off my camera, but oh well.
Well, okay then. So why don't we start up the video? That was an interesting little segue there.
I'm random. Okay, so I'm trying to stick this in the hot glue gun. There we go. Okay. So as you can see, the hot glue stick is actually entirely in the hot glue gun, and there's still this much sticking out. So, they're very long. Incidentally, since it is 1 o'clock, I'm going to go ahead and get actually, like, live started. This whole thing was kind of pre-session. But, hi, I'm Amber, if you don't know me already. I'm one of the co-hosts of CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay, and I am doing a product review of Mod Melts, which are a new product from Plaid, the makers of Mod Podge. Of course, everybody knows and loves Mod Podge. And these are supposed to be some sort of alternative to resin casting for mold making and casting items. These are $7.99. I'm sorry, yeah, $7.99. at Michael's, at least at my local Michael's. So your local Michael's may have them for a different price. It kind of depends on region and depends on store. But it comes with 16 sticks, so that's about 50 cents a stick. That seems like a pretty reasonable price to me, even for experimentation or just, you know, using for small cosplay things. They do sell molds. They're made of silicone. They're kind of a bright Halloween orange color. There are four different molds that you can purchase. They are $6.99 at Michael's. And they have, you know, various birds, animals, little symbols. They even have one for little picture frames. So if you want little filigree parts for jewelry, if you want to make a really nice looking necklace for, say, steampunk, Renaissance, Victorian, Lolita, that sort of thing, then you may actually want to look into that mold. These are sold in the adhesive section of the store. Incidentally, Michael's seems to be the only local hobby store that carries these. I have actually looked, and Joann's does not sell them, Hobby Lobby does not sell them, Hancock does not sell them. Most of the other local hobby-type stores, including Hobbytown, don't seem to carry these. So my guess is that Michael's just has an exclusive contract with Plaid to be able to carry these in their stores. It's a relatively new product. It's only been out for a couple of months. And I actually found out about it myself on a thread on cosplay.com where people were looking for alternatives to resin. So I have purchased a package of the beach glass version, which is their clear version. They have two versions. They have beach glass, which is supposed to be more clear, and they have milky white, which is supposed to be the more opaque version. And I wanted to try the clear version for a couple of reasons, mostly so that I can play with dyeing it to see if you can, since they don't sell dye. In fact, they suggest that you paint these instead of actually trying to dye them like resin. And I basically wanted to do a couple of things with it, and to do that, it's easier to be able to see through it. So I have one loaded. Incidentally, you have to use a high-temp mini glue gun, and it actually says that on the package. It has to be high-temp, because otherwise this won't melt. And it has to be a mini glue gun, because despite the length of these massive sticks, they are somewhat thin, just like a mini glue gun stick, so you can see for comparison. It's about twice as long and about the same diameter, so high-temp mini glue gun. And I've gone ahead, I'm using a resin journal, which I have already pre-prepared with generic Vaseline as a release. And they actually say on the package that this is supposed to dry in 3 minutes. This is supposed to go from, you know, squirting out a glue gun to release in 3 minutes. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn the camera down so that you can actually see what I'm doing now that my hot glue gun has warmed up. And let's see how this goes. So I'm going to tilt down very carefully. There we go. And secure camera. And I'm going to zoom in just a little bit. Do, 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 do. There. This way you can see exactly what's going on here. Okay. So I've got this. And I'm going to start squirting it just like hot glue, because that's what they're telling you you're supposed to do, is just start squirting. So I am going to give it a good push, and it comes out pretty liquid, actually, just like hot glue. There's a lot of air bubbles. There's a lot of air bubbles. And apparently you can only get out so much at a time, it's hard. Ow! Ow, ow, ow! Okay. So here's how it looks in the mold. I'm trying to tilt it just a little bit so you can see this. You can see there's a lot of air bubbles in that. Incidentally, it is extremely hot, as I found out by touching just the bottom of the mold really quickly on accident. So do protect yourself from burns, because this really does get hot even with, you know, a split second's worth of contact. It does actually seem to have the consistency of hot glue. It really does, aside from the air bubbles. And it looks like the hot glue gun can only melt certain sections at a time. So you'll only have a certain quantity you can work with, and then you'll have to wait a couple of seconds for the hot glue gun to go ahead and start melting the next portion of the stick. So it's possibly going to give a little bit of a layered effect, and I'm not so sure that that's desirable in some things. I guess it will all depend. But surprisingly, the sticks are very flexible, and they come out extremely liquid. I mean, they're even more liquid than hot glue, which is a little bit surprising. I have read on the Coscom forums that these sticks are actually basically made of what we would call friendly plastic. They're made of polylactic acid, or PLA, which is the same soft biodegradable plastic that you can find in consumer-grade 3D printers. Incidentally, I have actually considered purchasing pellets of PLA and trying to make molds of these and pour my own mod melts to save money, but somehow I'm not entirely sure I would get the same consistency if I did that, so I'm probably not going to try it. Plus, there's always the whole burning down the apartment thing, even though mold making really isn't that dangerous. Incidentally, while this is drying, I'm going to give it probably another minute. It's turning cloudy. Let's see if I can do that in front of the camera. This is turning a little bit cloudy as it dries. It is supposed to give the effect of beach glass, which is not entirely clear. It's supposed to be, I guess, what they would call translucent. So if you are using this to cast gems and whatnot, just be aware that they're not going to be water clear. And I'm actually going to walk over to my kitchen for a quick second because I'm going to get some wax paper, as I'm going to try actually squirting this out just free form in a line just to see what it does. So I'm going to go walk over here and pull some wax paper. Again, this is all just experimentation. I just want to see what this stuff can do. So that if you want to use it on things like edging for armor or decorative purposes, like on necklaces or jewelry, then I want to know what it's capable of. So I'm going to go ahead and try this, just to see. You know, it's only 50 cents a stick, so I honestly think I can afford it. And we've got another viewer here, so welcome to you. I'm going to go ahead and just squirt this out freeform in some sort of squiggle. It's coming out really kind of lumpy. To be honest, it's actually really hard to control this. So you can see it came out in a little squiggle on the paper here. I'll slide that over so that you can see it. There we go. So you can see the squiggle here. I'm not actually going to touch it because it is extremely hot. But it's really hard to control the amount that comes out of the glue gun. I mean, I have pretty steady hands. And even then, it still wants to come out in just lumps. So I'm guessing that this is probably not going to be terribly useful for really detailed decorative work. You probably won't want to use this for really intricate jewelry or anything like that. You'll probably want to keep to this just for mold making and for casting. So I'm going to check on our little gem here. You can see the progress it's making. Some of the air bubbles have disappeared, but you can still see that a lot of them right here, you can still see that there's at least one big air bubble right here. So that's a little bit disappointing. Even now, even the bottom of the mold is still really, really warm as I'm touching this. So I'm actually kind of curious, and I may do part of this as an experiment too. It seems as though it has to cold set. And so I think what I may do is try and stick the mold in the freezer and see if I can flash freeze it and get it to cool faster. So it's still fairly warm. So I'm going to stick it in my freezer for a second. Not very long, mind. I don't want to stick it in there too long just in case for some reason the plastic cracks, because that is actually a risk that you take whenever you try and freeze something that's not meant to be frozen. You can see on here on the wax paper, it does not run. So it dries pretty quickly here. And you can see that, you know, it's not actually running down. So it seems to be a pretty cohesive substance. Incidentally, unlike hot glue, you can see the tip on my hot glue gun. It's not dripping. So the good thing about mod melts is that you don't have to worry about the excess hot glue kind of dripping into a giant blob on your table. This stuff actually does not appear at all to drip. So hooray for quick cleanups, because that would be a wonderful thing. All right, so I am taking this out of the freezer. It's still pretty warm, incidentally, after I've taken this out of the freezer. And it's starting to get a little bit of a sheen on it. There's a little bit of a sheen on the top, which is actually kind of hard to show on camera, but you can see it a little bit there. You can see the sheen. So at least the bottom seems to have a nice texture. And you can see I can touch it now. So the top of this is cool. It's the bottom of it that's still a little bit warm. But I'm going to go ahead and try and pop this out now. And we're back.
Yes. Wait, I did horrible jazz hands. I am so sorry. I have no idea what I just did. I am so sorry. My theater teachers would hate me.
Not non-jazz hands.
Non-jazz hands. Or we could do, you know, like bring it on and be like, sparkles.
At any rate, We actually have another segment for you. This is the second half of the double feature. I want to say double feature picture show.
Ah! Brilliant.
I keep thinking, every time I say or think double feature, it's like, mm-hmm.
Picture show.
A cookie to those who get the reference, incidentally. But I went ahead and did fiberglassing basics as well this past weekend. And my fiberglass bracelet is actually still sitting outside because it made my apartment smell, of course. It, even with such a small project, it still releases a ton of fumes whenever you fiberglass something, especially since I didn't have windows open, which I couldn't really because the south wind would have blown them right back into my apartment. And it was also like 100 degrees outside.
Yeah.
But anyways, I went ahead and did a bracelet blank that I fiberglassed, and I looked like a dork wearing a respirator, but safety first. Sorry, I'm looking at the chat. So flip off the video. What did it ever do to you? It didn't work. It is not self-ant killing. That is why.
Unfortunately. It doesn't have that power yet.
It's like, why doesn't it have the little electric surge that just kind of zaps the bug?
One day technology will take over and will kill the bugs for us.
One day.
Anyway.
At any rate, here is a small portion of the fiberglassing that I did. This was more of a tutorial than a review, so I do talk a lot in the segment, and I'm sorry. Although I did stop talking eventually because I started losing my voice.
But it's good. It was worth it.
Yes. So here is a small portion of what I did. And then if you want to see the rest, again, go to our YouTube channel and you can see the other part of it. So enjoy. This is fiberglass resin. This is the Bondo variety. You can buy this in Walmart. It's about $13. It is 29 fluid ounces, so it's almost 4 cups worth. One canister should get you almost a full body suit of armor. So this stuff goes really far, incidentally. It comes in the cap, usually. Come on. There we go. It comes with a hardener, which is this little thing here. There's usually not very much hardener, but that's because you don't need very much. This is measured in terms of drops. It will say, for example, for a half cup, you want to use 20 drops or whatever it says on your container. Always follow what it says on your container, and it will tell you exactly how many drops you need for how much resin. Eventually, you'll get to the point where you can estimate, but unless you know, you really, really need to measure. Simply because this is a chemical reaction that you're doing, and the more hardener you put in, the faster the resin will set, but the faster it will heat up. And if you add too much hardener, you may actually set the resin on fire, which I will not do here for you, because this is not that kind of a learning experience. But do make sure that you measure your materials. All right, I had to go in my room for a moment, because this is something else you should use, and that's gloves. And the reason that you use gloves, and you do need to use them on both hands, and I would get the disposable kind, because this is going to get very sticky very quickly. Fiberglass resin is very sticky, and it will stick to your gloves, and it will stick to everything else. So, incidentally, also make sure that you are wearing clothing that you don't mind losing. If you don't have a set of those clothes, I highly recommend that you get an apron, just in case you get splash on yourself, which is entirely possible. All right. I've got the respirator around my neck. I just don't have it on yet so that you guys can still hear me. Usually, I mix my resin in one of these little aluminum containers. mostly because they're cheap and disposable and they keep everything contained. A pack of three is 97 cents at Walmart, incidentally. You will also need, in addition to your resin and your hardener, something to mix them with. Something disposable. Usually, I have seen people use a popsicle stick. You can also use, what do they call them? Pipe cleaners, chenille stems. You can use plastic silverware. You can use any number of things. Just whatever you use, be prepared to lose it. Because unfortunately, once that resin hardens, you now have a resin encrusted tool. So, what I am pulling out in my kitchen is a plastic knife. And this is usually what I use when I stir my resin, is I use a plastic knife. That is a good point. If your tube of hardener feels sticky, then it isn't any good anymore. Incidentally, the resin itself is safe in the container. Do not pour hardener in the resin container. You will lose the entire canister of resin because the entire thing will harden and it will become a brick. Not to mention you have an entire canister that is producing massive amounts of heat, which is extremely dangerous. So you never, ever pour hardener into the resin container. You always pour the resin into a separate container, like this, and then you add hardener to it. Incidentally, as soon as you start mixing the resin and the hardener, the chemical reaction starts. And generally, you have somewhere between 10 and 15 minutes to work with it before it becomes so sticky or hard that you can no longer work with it. When your resin starts gumming up in the container and becoming something like the consistency of jelly, you're pretty much out of time. That's when you know that your resin is done and you need to mix another batch. Things that affect how quick your resin sets are humidity. If it is more humid, resin will take longer to harden and it will stay tacky longer. Also, heat. The hotter it is outside, or for me, in your apartment, the quicker the resin will set. So it may be as short as 8 to 10 minutes that you have working time for your resin. So those are two things to keep in mind when you're working with your resin, especially outside. So you probably don't want to work outside on a hot summer day in Dallas because it is both humid and extremely hot. And we're back.
You did the well. You did a jazz hand and the sparkles.
Well, yeah, because we're brilliant.
Jazzy sparkles.
Yep.
Spazzles. I don't know what to call
That works. But at
them.
any rate, hopefully those proved somewhat useful to you guys, both the product review and the fiberglassing. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns about what you saw, do feel free to let us know, and I will do the best I can. I'm still learning fiberglassing, to be honest. I'm still kind of a student of the technique, so I may not be able to answer everything, but I will do my best. Sorry. For the
Read the
listeners,
chat.
yes, for the listeners who aren't watching us on video or can't see the YouTube chat, there are actually people who are going to leave a review on iTunes right now so that we will do Godspell the Musical.
That.
Well, no, if we set a serious goal and our listeners oblige, then we have to do it because we kind of, well, we put it out there. We laid it out there.
Are we allowed to pick the theme? Because I like the 80s idea. Because I can totally do the 80s, though.
Well, I mean, we can do whatever we want with it. We just have to do it musically.
We can make it
So,
work. It's still going to be a butt.
yes. However, as a tabletop role-playing gamer, I
No.
have gone through entire sessions where we had a bard in the group who actually sang. They actually sang their spells as bad 80s songs.
Yeah, we've had raid nights on
So
11 where we had our bards do that a couple of times. So I understand.
quite frankly, it can be done. If they can do it in a spontaneous fashion for D&D, we can totally do it for this. Just get a really good list of 80s tunes and just go. Yes, we do love you guys.
Oh my God. No, they all suck. I'm sorry, they suck.
But they're lovable.
They're
We're
lovable, but
Drusifying.
man, oh, this is gonna
We love our
suck.
listeners. We will find a suitable goal for this Cosmopod the Musical. We cannot promise what episode it will show up in because it's going to take a little bit of prep work. Plus, I have final exams coming up fairly shortly, which is going to suddenly take up all of my time. And
Time,
we've also got
exactly.
Barbican coming up fairly shortly, which is also going to take up some of my time since I'm kind of primary logistics on this. But we will find a goal and we will set it and we will see what happens. So that is all I will say there. And we are going to wrap up this show. Of course, you can, as usual, contact us if you would like. You can email us through podcast@cospod.org. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/user/cospodcast. Our Facebook is facebook.com/cosplaypodcast. DeviantArt, we are cospod.deviantart.com, and our Twitter handle is @cospodcast. Starting to memorize these.
Yeah, it's like second nature now.
But we love fan mail, good or bad. So if you would like to send that to us, please rate and review us on iTunes. I cannot promise those will count towards the musical goal at the moment, but if you somehow leave a review and or rating on iTunes, basically since the start of this show, yes, we will count it toward the goal if that happens to be the goal. Please do let your friends know about us. Spread the word. We always want new fans, new listeners, because as much as you guys might be entertained by us and learn from us, we're also entertained by and learn from you, as can be seen in the chat room. And everybody has a good time. So, of course, we want to spread the word that is Cospod. You will see us next at Anime Fest, outside of Barbican, but our next big convention is Anime Fest, so that's going to be the next big one that we start prepping for.
I know the chat just keeps going worse and worse.
Apparently, we're all about Cospod the Musical.
Oh, Lord.
I'll find a suitable costume for it. Maybe, what is Hatsune Miku?
Oh,
Miku?
yeah. Miku?
Vocaloid.
Vocaloid,
That's the
yeah.
one. I may have to see about that, or I know that there are. I can't even think of the characters' names, but I know there are others that have microphones. Clover, the series, I know has characters that have microphones. Pokemon has microphones. Oh God, Jigglypuff. There are other characters that have had, singing type outfits, so we may have to see what happens.
I regret nothing. On that lovely note, bye, people.
Bye.